My name is Matt McGill. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I am so glad that you are here today. Hey, as one of the pastors, I am really, I really want you to have a great Thanksgiving from a spiritual point of view, right? I mean, we're at church, you probably expect that. But also as a friend, I want you to have a great Thanksgiving from a social point of view also. I want to make sure you have great social skills. Sometimes us Christians lacking in the social skills. So I just put together a little list that I think will be beneficial for most of us. It's a list of questions of what not to ask at Thanksgiving this week, okay? So are we ready for this? Or maybe you need to, this might be the most important part of the morning for you. We'll see. So top 10 questions not to ask. The first one is, when are you two getting married? Right? That's terrible. Not that I've ever asked any of these questions myself. Actually, I think all of them from my journals of tears. Number 9, Democrat or Republican? Terrible. Right? Don't ask that. This is as political as I'm getting. Some of you are like wondering, like, is he going to get political? You know, no, I'm not. Not politics at all. Just a joke. It's both sides. Don't worry about it. Nothing else. Are you jumping the gun? You're trying to move me here? What's happening? Number 8 is this. Why are you still single? Right? I mean, that's a terrible question to ask, and some of you have been asked that question, and honestly, for some of you, it's very obvious. Just kidding. I'm so mean. I'm meaner to the second service. You guys are more awake, and I could do this. Number 7 is this. 2 slices of pie? Shouldn't you be watching your weight? That is a question. I've been asked this before, and I don't like that question. Number 6. Why is this turkey so dry? Don't ask. Maybe it's true. And that's okay. Just keep it to yourself. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you need to share it. My family, please do not hold me to that standard. Number 5. When are you having kids? Another relational question. I mean, those are terrible, right? We're going to have kids when we... Well, you'll know. You'll be... Well, actually, number 4... congratulations, when's the baby due? Don't say that. I mean, does anybody want to be brave? Last service, people were brave. Who's asked this before and you shouldn't have? Yeah, way to go. Good job. The rest of you are liars. I mean, seriously, I never will ask that question again. Number 3 is this. Top 10 questions I have to ask. Oh, what are you doing here? It doesn't matter if the drunk uncle showed up. Like, just be glad he's there and you know, offer him an extra slice of pie. Number 2 is this. Are you going to finish that? Like, just don't ask. I mean, as much I hate to see food go to waste, you know, it's like, oh, cranberry, are you going to finish those? Like, it's very hard to hold that back, but don't ask that question. It's just weird, awkward. And number 1, don't ask, what time does this shindig end tonight? Like, don't ask. Like, just leave. I found out last service, if you leave without saying goodbye, it's called an Irish goodbye. I hope that's not like a racist statement. My last service, no Irish people came up and got mad. So just leave. Don't ask. Just leave. So there you go. How do we do? Do we help your social skills a little bit? That's right. Okay, good. Blair, I can always count on you. You're just right there the whole time. Personally, I don't think I have a whole lot to offer in the social skills department. I really don't. But I think spiritually, I think we've got things covered here because we have God's Word, we have the Bible, and the truth is this, is that the Bible is really a love letter. It's really a love letter, and God wrote the Bible so that we would love him more. It was expression of his love. He wants us to know him more, and that's why he gave us the Bible. And the Bible doesn't just teach us about God. It also teaches us about the world, but it also gives us insight into who we are. So that's what we're going to start off with. Just the first scripture is who we are, how God created us to be. And so it says this in Psalm 107. It says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. This is a great psalm of thankfulness. I was thinking about this a lot this week. And this part of the psalm, if you were to read the whole thing, this part of the psalm, God had saved some people who were rebellious. So there was people that were in God's team, and then they rebelled against God, and then he saved them. They didn't deserve it. And then this was the response. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with joy. This is the way that we were created. See the connection between thank you and joy, gratitude and joy. That is the way it's supposed to work. When we receive a gift, especially a gift from God, we say thank you. And in the result, as we recognize something that's good and awesome and fantastic, the result is joy. The kind of joy that can't be quiet. The kind of joy that talks about things. And honestly, we have this in other areas of our life. The first thing that came to my mind was this, the cult that a lot of people are in, and you're probably in this cult, and I forgot it last service, and now I'm forgetting this service, and now, oh, CrossFit, the CrossFit cult. Do you know anybody in the CrossFit cult? You know, and it's so terrible, these people, because all they want to do is tell you about the number of burpees they're doing, and push-ups, and all these things, and I've got a couple friends that do this, and they're so filled with joy, and while they're talking to me, I just eat candy bars the whole time. I feel like I just got to help balance out all their healthness, but this is the way it's supposed to be. We say thank you, and we experience joy. Anyone can say thank you to God. Anyone can say thank you to God. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're foolish or if you're wise. It doesn't matter if you're poor or if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're far from God. Even if you don't have a relationship with God, or if you're really close to him, anyone can say thank you to God. I do have one warning that I want to give you, is that anyone can say thank you to God except for people that are caught up in jealousy and envy. When you lack contentment, you really can't say thank you. And we're going to talk more about this at the end, but I just want to give you a quick warning. Today we're talking about thankfulness. This is a warning, a heads up. This is more than just personality type. Okay, and I know, some of us here are pessimists. You know, the glass is we would call ourselves realists, but the truth is that we're pessimists, and the glass is empty, half empty, probably more than half empty, and it's real clear. Yeah, we need to stop and be more thankful. Some of us are really positive and happy and chipper, you know, and there's still a challenge for you, and the challenge for you is that the gratitude, well, it needs to be more genuine. It needs to come more from the heart and not just your mouth. This message of being thankful, this is a heart issue for all of us. This is not a personality style or a temperament. So we're going to dig into God's word and see what he has for us today. And the first thing is this: to be more thankful, to be thankful in the way that the Bible tells us to be thankful, we need to appreciate God's work. Appreciate God's work. And so this is a psalm. It's in the book of Chronicles. David wrote this, and so it's a little confusing, but it is a psalm in the book of Chronicles, and it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is such an important phrase, teaching, truth, verse. It's 40 times. I don't know how to do 40. It's 40 times in the Old Testament, and there's different variations, but this is so, so important. And when we study the scripture, we can learn that there's two qualities of thankfulness. There's two ways that we ought to be thankful. And the first one is this, is that we need to be specific. Thankfulness, gratitude is better when we're specific rather than general. You see, we don't just give thanks to God, we give thanks for his goodness, for his love, and for the internal nature of who he is. You've heard me say this before, but nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Think about the difference between a light bulb, which is great, lights up the room, and a laser. A laser has more power because it's focused. Your gratitude has more power when it's focused and it's specific. There's a second thing we learn about this, and that gratitude, it ought to go deep rather than be superficial. It ought to go deep rather than be superficial. And here's what I mean by this. As I was thinking about this week, I had an experiment with my children, my poor children, constantly torturing them mentally. And so I said to one of them, we had tacos. There's a taco kit from Price Costco, not Price Club anymore, it's Costco. And so anyhow, we're making tacos. And so I said to my son, who's a freshman, I go, hey, if you're very hungry and you have the taco in front of you, are you more thankful for the taco or the taco maker? And now I'm thinking, thinking, like, I'm the taco maker, so clearly that's why, you know, he's going to be very excited for me and say thank you. And so right out of it, before I even, he's like, takes after me, he just kind of starts talking. Before I even finish the sentence, he says, the taco, you know, and I'm like, okay. And then you can see he kind of pauses for a second, and he says, well, you know, the taco maker, because he's nice enough to make the taco. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. And he can make more tacos. And I was like, yes, you're right. You're a very smart son. You are my smartest of all my sons. And I go, besides, the taco's a thing, like a thing. And it's here today, gone in a nanosecond. You know, the taco maker is a human, like a person. They got a soul. Like, how can you be more thankful for a thing than a person? And we see that here. We need to go deep. We need to be thankful for the gifts that God gives us. The tacos that God gives, yes, we need to be thankful for tacos. But we also need to be thankful for the gift giver, which in this illustration is the taco maker. And so, yes, I just called God the taco maker. I feel like it's a very nice way to view the Lord. But the important thing is that we are specific. He is good, his love, his enduring nature, but also not just the gifts, but for the gift giver. Does that make sense? I think so. The second point is this, is that we need to appreciate God's work, but we need to appreciate God's work in and through you. In and through you. This is one of my favorite passages that Paul writes, and he says this to Timothy. Timothy was a he mentored Timothy, and Timothy was a leader in the church. And even though this letter was read to the whole church, but it was for an individual first. It was for Timothy, and this is what he said. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength." Circle the word strength. That he has considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Circle the word service. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is important. He says trustworthy saying only three times, but here it is, one of them. Jesus Christ, I keep backing it up. I don't know what's happening here. Christ Jesus, he came into the world to save sinners. Circle the word save, of who I am the worst. So you see here what Paul's doing. He's doing the same thing that I just talked about a second ago, is he's very specific. He's talking about the strength that he gets from the Lord, salvation that he gets from the Lord, and the service that he gets from the Lord. But he's also thanking Jesus. He's also going deep. And so he is specific, but he's also deep. And like Paul, we need to follow his example, and we need to pay attention to the work that God is doing in our hearts, what he's doing to help us and to mold us and to change us, and to make us more like his son, and to make us more awesome. Like, believe it or not, and I think a lot of us, we might say we believe this, but I just wonder, but before the whole world was created, before time, like God knew he had a plan for you and had a great plan for you that is better than what you can come up with on your own. Maybe you're one of these people, you have a great imagination. It's better than your imagination. Like, God is, he wants you to be awesome. And a lot of times we get up and we look at the mirror, you know, and it's like, we don't feel awesome. You know, we don't feel like God has created us for something great, but he has. He has, and we need to pay attention to that work that he's doing in our hearts. So let's talk about these three just real quick. Let's talk about salvation, since that happened first chronologically. You know, what is it that you believe about Jesus? And think about that. What is that you believe about? It's the center of our faith, what you believe about Jesus. And I know here in a crowd this big, some of us are sold out for Jesus. We're not perfect, but we've been living for him, and he's our number one priority, and that's fantastic. What do you believe about Jesus? Some of us are stumbling right now. We are making lots of mistakes. We've said yes to Jesus, but he's not the top priority. And what is it that you believe about Jesus? Some of us are in this third category I'd call a seeker, you know, where they're not sure and they're just checking Jesus out and like, oh, I don't know, Christians are weird, and they are. But what is this Jesus person thing, you know? And I think that's great. And if that's you, that you showed up, that is fantastic that you would be here for that. But what is it you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he lived a perfect life, that he died a real death, that he defeated death literally, not metaphorically or as a myth, that he literally defeated death so that you and I could have a relationship with him, that we could be a part of God's family by believing in him. If you don't believe this and you wanted to talk to somebody, man, I would love that. I would clear my schedule and I would love to have a conversation. I just did this a couple of weeks ago. Someone had some questions about what the Bible teaches and something, and I would clear my schedule if you wanted to talk to somebody. But if you do believe this, when was the last time you were thankful for your salvation? When was the last time you were thankful for God's work in your heart? Does your new life in Christ no longer feel new? And if that is you, change that. Change that today by being more thankful. Paul also talked about strength. God strengthens our hearts. And Paul, apostle, he faced incredible pressures. I mean, he was put in jail. He traveled all over the place. He went hungry. He was beat. They threw rocks at him. Betrayal, like friendship betrayal. I mean, his life was a difficult, difficult life. But Christ strengthened him. And when we are weak, God can strengthen us. When you're overwhelmed with stress, God can strengthen you. When you're debilitated by tragedy and you just don't even feel like moving, God can be there and strengthen you. When you're tempted by a habit, by a struggle that you've had for your whole life, and in that moment, God can strengthen you. And the question that I would have is where are you struggling? Where do you need God's strength right now? And when you get that, don't forget to say thanks. Don't forget to be grateful for his work in your life. Paul also thanked God for serving. God called him to service, and he answered that call. I know here a lot of us have answered that same call, and we are in service for God. And deeper than this, Paul was thankful for his service, but it was more than that. He was also thankful for the people that he served. Look at this next scripture on your notes. It says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Now, being thankful for our ministry opportunities or the places that we called into service, being thankful for that, maybe you're a grow group leader, or maybe you help out in the kitchen or you help with the little kids. It's not so hard to be thankful for your ministry. It's not so difficult. And the reason for that is when you're done with the ministry and you're driving home, it's like, man, that feels good. And it does, and that's great. It is. That's one of the reasons why we need to be helping other people out, is because it does feel good to not focus on yourself. But we need to go deeper, and we need to be thankful for the people we're actually serving. And you know what? It is really hard to be thankful for people, right? Because they're people, and so it's really hard to be thankful because they're difficult and they rub us the wrong way. The thing is that Paul was thankful for the people that he served. It wasn't the other way around. He didn't expect the people to be thankful for him. And it is really easy to fall into that trap. It is really easy to get just a little bit of entitlement and a little bit of like, well, I'm doing so much good. They better appreciate it. You know, you wouldn't say it out loud because that's not what you're supposed to do as the Christians and all this stuff, but you would think that and it infects you, and it's difficult. We need to appreciate God's work in our hearts and through our lives. And the third point is this: in times good and bad, in times good and bad. And so we've kind of been, I've kind of been easing you into the mental pain of this message. And so now it's about to get a little bit more difficult. So just some warning, but first it's still kind of easy. But when is it that you need to be thankful? Well, the Bible's answer is very clear: all the time. You need to be thankful all the time. And I don't know about you, but I don't always feel thankful for things. Like when I wake up in the morning, I hate life. I do not like the mornings. I think the mornings are terrible. I'm not even sure God is awake in the morning answering prayers. And I'm just kidding by that. Don't quote me. It's just a joke. Just a joke. Okay, you're like, oh, I'm about to write. Someone already has a Connect card out like, oh, I know what the pastor said. God's not awake. He's always awake. Omnipresent. Yeah, I'm just joking. it's hard for me to be thankful when I go work at Starbucks. I love working at the coffee. I love the hum of humanity. It's wonderful, except for that one person who's on the phone, and they're so loud. And it's like, go outside. This is not your office. You're an idiot, and you're annoying. You know, there's no part of that. So if I'm at a coffee shop, and I see you on a phone or a video call, like, I'll give you the evil eye, and then I'll even say, God, do you want me to go help this person be a better person? So I'll pray about that, and just we'll see. And if I know you, then I probably will come on over and say, hey, buddy, what's the deal? No people skills? Anyhow, I know that it's tough to be thankful all the time, but please hear me on this. The spiritual life is about putting our life in alignment with God's word, God's standard. It's not about living according to how we feel and even how we think. We need to align our life up to God's word. And so check out how tough this one is. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing, there's a couple things we're going to point out here. Is first, notice the two alls. There's the always and the all things. And this is like a, like I'm a very excited person, you could tell. Maybe, you know, I'll use the exclamation point. So if I send a text, I'll put two on there, maybe even three. And I don't care how annoying it is, I'm excited and the text isn't really communicating that. So here's my exclamation points. And so this, you only need one of the alls. He could say, always giving thanks to God. And that means the exact same thing as give thanks to God for all things. He didn't need to, but he did. And he did because it's like, this is important all the time, always. The second thing that's probably obvious, but it's just worth noticing really quickly, just to underscore the fact that this is a heart issue. The thankfulness is not just with your mouth. I mean, it's nice, it's good, it encourages other people. Some of us are thankful, but we don't really feel like we are, we're just saying it. But you can't always be thankful, because you can't always be talking, but you can always be working on your heart, and this is a deep thing. The most important thing about this scripture, if it's difficult, the always and the all things, it's only possible when Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of our life. That's what Christ is, it means the Savior. And if we haven't said yes to Jesus as, man, you're the Lord, you're the ultimate authority, and man, you're Christ, you're the Savior, you saved me from my imperfections. Like if you haven't said yes to Jesus, then you're not gonna have the strength or the power or even the eyes to see the good things so that you can always be giving thanks. But how does this apply to our lives? How could this be practical, and what does this look like to give thanks, to acknowledge God's work in good times and bad? So let's talk about the good times for a second. The always and the all things, it refers to the good things in our life. And I think that a lot of us, you know, we don't pause and say thank you for the good things because it's hard to pause, because we are, we're so caught up in the next thing to do. And man, that's one of the things I love about our church, is just to stop and pause and talk about things that are awesome. You know, something awesome happened with our church yesterday. We had 15 dudes went and shot guns. And what was cool about that was not just that there was some event, but that this was run by a volunteer person. Wasn't the administrator that just made the details happen, but also I was like, hey, so what do you think the purpose of this thing is? You know, and so this guy fired back, he's like, oh, we're gonna do this and this, and this is what success is. And so the event happened, and people showed up who aren't totally connected in our church. And I even heard one story, I heard one connection that one person brought somebody who doesn't even really like spiritual things or doesn't even like church, and that's a good thing, that for a couple hours they get to have lunch and spend time and hang out with other Christians and just to experience. That's a good thing. That's something that we're thankful for, something that I personally am thankful for. Another barrier to thanking God for the good things in our life is it's not just being distracted, but a lot of times Actually, I'm not sorry. That's a total lie. We don't view them as gifts. We view them as things that we've earned, that we've created. And so it's like, well, I've got the a house and the car and the nice things and because I'm a good worker. I've worked really, really hard. I've sacrificed. And it's like, okay, you know, or I've got good kids, you know, and the reason why I have good kids is because I'm a good parent. Which is great. The reality is this, is that Scripture teaches something different. And it's the second verse under this point. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Everything that's good in your life, it came from God. And I think it's great if you were a responsible person. I think it's great if you worked hard. I think it's great if you were diligent and you did what you were supposed to do. Sacrifice is important. Working hard is important. And doing your job, your duty, your responsibility, those are all important things. But we don't have the ability to create something out of nothing. God did. Created the whole universe. Just a few words. It all belongs to Him. Anything good that we have is from Him, and we ought to acknowledge that. We ought to pause, but we also recognize that it's not us that makes us have the good things. We also need to be thankful to God during the bad times, and this is a tough point. This is difficult. Always and all things means that we're thankful even during the ugly, difficult times in life. This isn't easy, but when life is hard, God is still working. Like, God is still working. He doesn't take a break. Like in my mind, like, it's not like, oh, life is tough because God, you know, is out there playing video games, you know, and not focused on the world. In my mind, that's what I would be doing, not paying attention, playing video games. I'm sure God doesn't do that. Because God, I mean, God's involved. And even when life is terrible, He is involved, and there are things that we could be thankful for. I've just got to be honest with you. A couple months ago, I really failed on this point. Really did not do a great job. This thankfulness stuff. We had some of my boys were on a team, and the coaches. I had a really hard time with the coaches, and it wasn't because of it wasn't the plays that they called. I didn't care about, you know, the play this that or who the substitution. I didn't care about any of the football stuff. You know, I coached, and I know how hard it is, and I was below average. You know, so I'm not gonna. I wasn't angry for that. But the way that they treated the players to me, it just drove me crazy. And there was actually a period in the middle of the season, I went 5 days where I had like no peace, and that doesn't happen for me. It just doesn't. And it was one of those deals where I was praying about it. I prayed about the situation. I asked God for patience. I even asked God to forgive them. And then I was like, well, wait a minute, they didn't do anything to me. So I can't forgive them for that. So I gave it to the Lord, but I never said thank you. Never said thank you for the situation. Never said thank you for the fact that they're doing the best that they can. Thank you for the fact that my kids are learning a lot. There's character, but they're also learning how not to be a leader. I never said thank you for the conversations that we can have about this situation. It was a situation that would have been made better by gratitude. And so I gave you the negative example from my own life, but there's a really great positive example. A couple weeks ago, I did a memorial. I had a small part at the end, and at the memorial, a man was 80 years old who passed away, and man, the daughter did such a great job of honoring her father, but she did more than that. She did more than just honor her dad and put together some nice sentences that made sense. She was thankful. She was thankful for his presence in her life, thankful for his character, for his grit, for his faith. She was thankful for the way he valued people. And it's a great example. I mean, the reality is that grief sucks. Grief sucks. There's nothing good about grief. But when grief can be mixed with gratitude, you know, it sucks a little bit less. And this is the way the world is designed. We were made to be thankful. When we show gratitude, especially during dark times or difficult times or bad times, it really shines a light in this world. It really shines a light in this world. And our world is a dark place. There's lots of terrible things that are happening. Even if you don't believe the Bible, there's terrible things that are happening. And we need light in the world. This, in part of my study and getting ready for the message, I read there's this old preacher. It was more than 100 years ago. His name was Spurgeon. And I don't know much about, it's so funny. People laughed at that name last week, or last service too. I don't know why that's funny, but it's great. Spurgeon. And people just chuckled. But anyhow, this guy was a pastor of a really large church. He's got like 9 million sermons are written down. And so a lot of times I like to read them because he's a really good communicator. And there was something that I read this week that I really loved, and so I'm going to share that. And he said this. He said there are sick beds which have been more fruitful in conversions than pulpits. And I was like, oh man, I want to make sure, like, when I have the opportunity to teach, like, man, I'm going to teach with joy and with conviction from God's word. But what this reminded me of, and you've heard me talk about this before, I won't go into a lot of details, but you know, my mom died of cancer when I was young, when I was five, and she was a strong believer. Like my dad, you know, as I grew up later in life, he said she loved Jesus, her faith was evident, and three nurses came to know the Lord because of the way that she lived her faith. And now he didn't say she was thankful for it. That would have worked for the message really good. But it gives me something to be thankful for. And again, grief and pain, they still are not good. I'm still not like, well, okay, God, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, things could have worked out differently. But you know what? Three people are in heaven because of the work you did through her. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. There's one other direction that our thankfulness needs to go. And we've talked about during good times for the good things and in bad times for the bad things. But we also need to be thankful when good things happen to other people, which is really tough. For a lot of us, this is really tough. And the reason why it's so hard when somebody else is blessed or when somebody else gets something awesome, it's hard to be thankful for them because we have envy. We have envy in our hearts and jealousy, and it's just part of the way the world is created. And the advertising people and the marketing people, they know this, and so they tap into that. But the reality is that when you're envious, that's like a poison that's just killing you. And the antidote is to be genuinely thankful for other people. And so this is an area of thanks that we really need to develop. On your notes, it's got one last thought, and actually, maybe you filled it in if you love to try and guess the answers. I talked about this in the beginning, but thankful people are joyful people. And this season, don't you want to have more joy in your life? If so, you need to appreciate God's work in and through you. You need to appreciate God's work in times that are good and times that are bad. So let's finish like this. We're gonna pray. Why doesn't everybody stand up and I'll pray for us. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day to live and to breathe and to smell and to see and to enjoy your creation. Lord, we pause and recognize the fact that there is nobody bigger than you. You are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. We thank you for your gifts. I know in my own heart I often take them for granted, and I'm sorry for that. Lord, we are so thankful that we can come to the cross, that we can receive your grace and your mercy, that you wash over our hearts, you make them white as snow. Lord, I pray especially for people as we go into the holidays, that if there is added stress with family, Lord, just pray that you would be there and you would offer your strength. Lord, I pray for those people that are struggling with loss. And maybe this is the first Thanksgiving, and maybe it's the 50th Thanksgiving, and it's still hard. But Lord, for those of us that have loss, we also ask for your strength.
We thank you for your love. It's unconditional. There's nothing we could do to earn more of it. There's nothing we could do to lose any of it. So we ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would show us how to live. In Christ's name we pray, amen.